Welcome back to Tech Hygiene. We help you stay sane in a crazy world. Say hi to your hosts, John Biggs and Lauren Feltman.
Welcome back to Tech Hygiene. I think this is called the sleepy edition of the podcast that helps you stay sane. I'm John Biggs.
I'm Lauren Feltman.
And today we're talking parlay. What would we call it, Lauren?
I think it was supposed to be parlay, except it was adapted as parlor.
Yeah, because it's like, I would think they wanted to make it kind of fancy, and then when they
parlay is French for talk, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, well, whatever, parlor.
I don't know.
In French, let's look it up. It's like looking up baguette in French. It's to speak. So yeah. It is actually, and it's pronounced parler. So it's parler.
Parlez-vous français? Yeah. Right. Everybody knows that.
So they're saying that it's actually parlor because it's like a parlor that you go into where you go and
you go a courtin'. Right.
Back if you were in Amish times, I suppose.
Before that, even you go to the parlor and hang out with Oscar Wilde or something.
Yeah, you're gonna do like
intellectuals and authors and absinthe and all that stuff.
But what one would argue that these guys have sort of bastardized that definition and turned it into a bunch of dudes who just want to be racist.
So what's going on with these guys?
So we did a fairly interesting expose. These guys were posting onto Parlay from the attack on the Capitol, right? So you had a bunch of Yahoos with their iPhones, and they were all posting videos and things. And they're claiming now that it wasn't an attack. They're claiming that they weren't there. But interestingly enough, we have absolute proof that thousands of them were posting to the service. And how they got it is that, and this is a good one, the hackers, quote unquote, who stole everything off of Parlay, were able to steal it by adding one to the end of a URL. Now, I don't know if you remember this. You remember Weave, Arenheimer?
How could I not? I knew Weave intimately.
That guy. And I knew him well too. And for a brief moment, I was like, oh, this guy is just a misunderstood nerd. And then he turned into freaking Odin, racist god of nerddom, and he was. It's basically what prison did to him. But one would assume that his personality did the same thing. Anyway, back in the olden days when the iPads first came out, AT&T had an activation portal that allowed you to look at your information. So you went to like a URL, AT&T.com/iPad/5, and you would see your code, your information. What they failed to do is they said, if you look at 6, you see somebody else's information. If you look at 7, you see somebody else's information. So they basically Weave was basically able to steal every single record of every single iPad sold on AT&T's network. And then he gave it to Gizmodo, and he went to jail, arguably needlessly. And I'm not going to defend the guy by any stretch of the imagination. He's a complete nutball. But it was completely ridiculous that they sent him to jail. But the same thing happened over at Parlay, and I don't think anybody cares. So basically, if you had like one post said, I like ice cream, and the next post said, I hate everybody and I'm going to murder politicians, that was just one number difference from each other. So you could download the ice cream one, then you could download the video from the ice cream one, you could download pictures, then you'd also just add one to the URL and download the next one and the next one and the next one. So basically you had an entire database, terabytes and terabytes of information of just people just dumping their vitriol online. So my guys at Gizmodo sat down and they took the lat long, the EXIF data from every one of those videos and pictures, and figured out where people were using Parlay. And they discovered they were using it on in sheriff's offices. They discovered they were using it in army bases. They were using it deep within the Capitol during the attack. And so now you have a fascinating record of everybody who decided to be racist on that afternoon.
Well, aside from the parlay leak, these nitwits were all over Facebook and Instagram, and one has to say TikTok or assume. Yeah, it's pretty amazing how they documented, and again, aside from the data breach, how they just documented in general all of their criminality.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the thinking is there.
Well, that's the joke, right? They're convinced that the vaccine is going to contain like Bill Gates's nanobots, but all they're doing is just running around with their GPS enabled, and that's all it's
right. So, well, I'm just saying, like, to be so cognitively, you know, out of it, to not realize or not care that you're documenting yourself doing a crime and then posting it. It's wild.
Well, I mean, look at some of those videos.
I mean, the parlay guys were the quote unquote sneaky guys, mm-hmm. right? So there was all kinds of sneaky data on there too. And, you know, internal team communications and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, Parler is the fringe app anyway, right?
Yeah.
A lot of these people, you know, were captured by the FBI just via Facebook posts.
Yeah, that too.
Just
yeah.
no shame, no nothing. I mean, it's incredible.
The assumption is that no one's going to touch them, right? They're white dudes, bearded white dudes who just wanted to hang out. They wanted to have a good time, and they had a good time. And I think the most galling thing is just watching them walk past the police in the Capitol. And the police are just like, yeah, go for it. And they're here claiming that they have millions of people behind them. They don't have millions. They had a maximum of a couple thousand floating in and out of the Capitol.
And it's did you happen to catch the New Yorker video?
Yeah, I saw that. That was nuts.
That was nuts. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're a listener, check out New Yorker. They have a pretty incredible video. Of, you know, just the inside, and you can really get a sense of mood. And these people were nuts.
Well, they're
nuts.
They're the dog that caught the car. They have no idea what to do with it anymore. Apparently, Parlay is back with a domain registered to Epic, which is the home of Gab and Daily Stormer. So we're lucky to have them back. It's really true.
Right, and Apple also announced that if they can, quote unquote, get their content moderation together, that they'd be able to get back in the Apple Store. I don't know if that's true or just PR or not, but you know, Parler's basically financed by the Mercers. They have a ton of money. It's just a matter of how much they really want to throw at it. I mean, they certainly understand technology, the Mercers, and realize, I mean, I think they've thrown like $5 million at this thing so far or something or other.
Yep.
I mean, to really do this at scale, it's going to take a lot of dough.
I don't know. I don't know what what's next for this kind of media, quote unquote? What's next for this world? I mean, how do you
I think we're going to see more and more of content moderation. And Twitter's already seen, I forget what the actual stat was, but it was something about disinformation on Twitter since Trump left is already significantly different.
Yeah.
And as we spoke about last week, through Alexis over at the former Reddit guy said, people want moderation. So I think we're going to see a lot more moderation, a lot more quote unquote free speech discussion, censorship nonsense. But I think that's what you're going to see.
So this is an interesting question. So what is the universe look like? The universe of media look like in after this, right? So it's been 4 years. We've shown the cracks in the facade of media. 100%. We know everything, where everything's broken. And do you think things get fixed?
I don't know what fixed necessarily means.
Well, I mean
in the broad sense, no.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think it's hopeless? No. Close to hopeless, but in terms of media, you know, your Fox, your OAN, your Newsmax, and those guys are definitely going to have their place. But you could make the argument on the other side that the Washington Post and New York Times, et cetera, are more important than ever.
Are they?
Yeah. I mean, you got to get your news from somewhere. Yeah. I mean, what's the most trusted news source to you?
New York Times. Okay. So my news diet, and there was an interesting comment about the idea of a news diet and the fact that most of us basically just like suck down whatever we see and enjoy ourselves. So think about the news diet, quote unquote. So the CNN is good for breaking news because they have AP wires. They got stringers everywhere. They're just getting stuff out. And then if I want something that's trusted and delicately reported, I'll go to the New York Times. And if I want something a couple weeks or a couple days after, I'll go to the New Yorker or Atlantic, that sort of thing. But if we're talking about that, if we're saying that that sort of curated experience is the future, what happens to like the OANs or whatever, the American News, One American News Networks? What happens to the Fox News? What happens to the places where it's just junk news?
They have their place. They're not going away. I mean, but I don't think that they're going to raise in prominence or anything. I don't think that Comcast or AT&T are going to drop them.
Because people still demand them, right? That's the idea.
People still demand them. And, you know, as wacko and crazy as it is, I'm not sure on that kind of scale, like getting rid of them is necessarily the answer. I mean, they're arguably not necessarily worse than the UFO shows, you know, or whatever. I mean, it's entertainment. It is what it is.
Well, the interesting thing about the UFO shows is that they were entertainment. And like a guy like Alex Jones, for example, used to be a guy who talked about like wacky stuff late at night. And you got high and you listened to some dude just rambling. And then for some reason, we flipped and his news, quote unquote, became the de facto information for millions of people. And either that's, and it could be the fact that they had a bigger broadcast range, right? So back in the old days, it was Alex Jones in Austin and you'd listen to him going, the aliens are coming down and all. And then now everybody can hear him do it and everybody can listen. And the fact is, if you tell a million people something crazy, 10,000 of them will believe you. And that's how PR works. That's how media works. That's how almost anything works.
We've touched on this numerous times and it's like, it's distribution and you know, that's the web and it is what it is. So, you know, banning OAN or Newsmax from the airwaves, I mean, personally, do I care? No. Do I think it necessarily solves anything? No. You know, it is what it is. There's always going to be a place, you know, for that stuff. And, you know, but in terms of them being mainstream or most people believing it, I don't think it'll be the case. And, you know, to get back to your original point, where's media going? It's, you know, it's going to be that kind of stuff. And, you know, the real guys are going to become more important than ever. I mean, I get all my news from the New York Times and the Washington Post, breaking news like you. I do CNN. I'll skim Tech Meme.
Yeah.
That's the only tech site I do anything with. And Gizmodo, of course, actually. Gizmodo.
Better, arguably.
I really like it. Your guys have an edge, and
my guys do have an edge. I like these guys.
Yeah, they have an edge. So I read Gizmodo. I skim Tech Meme. That's it for tech. I don't hate read anything. I don't go to Breitbart. I don't go to Fox. I don't follow any of those people on Twitter, you know. So, you know, I have my whole hate consumption under control, which I think is a big part of it for a lot of people. Like, you just don't even have to look at it if you don't want to, you know?
Yeah, I think that's the other point. But I think, so, and I think we talked about this last week. My buddy talked to his mom about, and my mom, I actually had this conversation too. So this is another thing that drove me nuts. My mom and I had the same conversation, and I told her she has a computer. She can look at New York Times. She can do all these things, but what she wants. She wants Fox News because that's what she grew. That's what my dad kind of like indoctrinated her with. So she's kind of stuck there. So she loves it and she's going to go back to it and she wants to get it. But my brother-in-law doesn't have it on his cable. So she's basically out of luck. But she's it's so familiar. I guess it's the equivalent of like me and NPR. Like if you took away my NPR, I'd be like, why are you doing this?
You bring up a good point where I'm assuming your mother's not an inherently evil person.
Yeah.
So it's like, as you were telling the story, it reminded me of like back in the day, you're a New York Post reader or you were, Daily News reader or a New York Times reader. And it is a lot of that where people are just familiar with brands and used to and comfortable with the brand. And, you know, it's nuts, but that's kind of part of it. It's familiar.
Yeah. No, you like the sound of that particular voice, right? So you like the sound of.
Right. It can literally be something as, as simple as that. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's background noise in a sense, you know, and then you have these other people where it's gospel. So. I don't think that Fox is going away. I don't think OAN is going away. And there you go.
All right. So you're doing something interesting. You're running an event, but the way I think of events these days, it's basically a live show, which eventually turns into a garbage dump of just weird people talking over each other on Zoom. You're doing something different, correct? And do you think physical events are coming back? Tell us what you're working on first.
Well, I'm working on something for one of my clients, which is a mining company, as in pulling gold out of the ground. And we're doing an event like any other industry. These guys would get together in Vegas or wherever, Toronto, actually a lot of things up in Canada. But anyway, they'd get together wherever and they'd have their little conference. And like everybody else, they can't at the moment. So what we're doing is a not live event, but a series of interviews and
whatever, right?
One guy interviewing six other guys and then a round table. And then rather than us trying to do it live, which can be daunting, we're just going to pre-record it and then have the ability to, you know, work with it in post, et cetera, et cetera. So, we could have gone live. We were thinking about going live. And what's the point? I mean, everyone's trapped at home. It's not like they're waiting with bated breath for our mining conference
longer. Yeah.
By doing it pre-recorded, it gives you a lot of ability in post-production to really clean it up and make it tight and perfect, and then we release it on a specified date. Watch it at your convenience. Mm-hmm. You'll still be able to. We won't obviously have live chat, but all of the speakers will be available, to answer if anyone has any questions they want to mail in or contact. And we're going that way. I mean, I think it's a while before you see conferences, for business at least. I mean, I think you're going to see movie theaters bounce back before conferences.
Yeah, that's
I
true.
Think, you know, malls, I think, you know, consumer big gatherings are going to come back before business big gatherings.
So what do you think about like CES? You think CES is coming back?
Well, I know they want to.
Yeah.
The scary thing about CES is that they almost, and you know, they're giant, obviously. I mean, mm-hmm. giant. But what's scary about this is that in a way it almost shows that they don't need to come back.
Yeah.
Or that they really do, because I mean, the last few years, CES, you know, you could basically follow on Gizmodo or Engadget, or, you know, all you guys basically really cover it. That's where you see all the cool products, et cetera, et cetera. This year, funny enough, and I don't know, maybe it's me, but I don't think so. I just didn't see a lot of press in general mm-hmm. coming out of CES.
So from my viewpoint, there was nothing. Quite literally, there was nothing good coming out of CES. It was completely quiet. It was silly to a degree that it was like unconscionable. And they did a lot of these live things where you're sitting in and watching these people talk, and they did live press release things. And John Deere actually sent out VR headsets to everybody. And ask them to, you put on a VR headset, and you'd walk around like the John Deere exhibit, and they'd show you like VR, I don't know, tractors or something like that.
Right.
And it was so silly, but that was, I guess that's what people want. I don't know. Or that's what they thought they wanted. I don't know if the same thing's going to happen next year when they're forced to rethink this. And if we still don't have live events next year, which I seriously doubt it, at that point, everybody's going to be sick and tired of it. Then it's going to be a whole different story.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I don't think that they're coming back next year. And you know, 2 years in a row of not something, it's out of mind, you know, what's that thing, out of mind, whatever, you know, like yeah. you forget about it.
And I wonder if it's generational as well. I mean, like we old folks want to have physical experiences, whereas these kids want to go, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, does the 24-year-old white geeky male still care yeah. about CES and want to go and hang? Mm-hmm. That's the question.
Anyway, all right. So, and we say this as we do a podcast, which is basically two dudes talking as if they were in a bar, but online. So, you're basically in a we're answering our own question.
If you say so, boss.
This has been Tech Hygiene. I am John Biggs.
I'm Lauren Feldman.
We will see you next week. Tech Hygiene is brought to you by Typewriter. Typewriter is your on-demand editor, and their amazing team of writers will make your book chapter, blog post, or email shine. Typewriter editors come from places like TechCrunch, Gizmodo, and the New York Times, and they offer low bulk rates for longer work. Check it out at typewriter.plus. That's typewriter.plus.